Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good afternoon, listeners. You're listening to Kosher Cravings, and you're with Dolores Fochet of Food by Flavors on this very blustery, as Winnie the Pooh would say, blustery day in Johannesburg. Welcome to the show. And today we're going to embrace a whole lot of spices and flavors, and we're going to talk Indian cuisine. I have a special guest who I will talk to just now about her recent trip to India. And I think one of the things I just love about when we talk about regional cuisine, whether it's Middle Eastern or Mediterranean or Indian, is everything comes with its own set of flavors and infusions and aromas. And for me, I just love the smell, the scent of curry, of something cooking slowly in the oven or on a stovetop. So we're going to talk about spices to start our show, knowing that Indian cuisine is so renowned for its rich tapestry of flavors. At the very core of every single dish are spices that transform very humble ingredients into the most delicious and decadent feast. There are certain spices that are just core and that form the backbone of everyday Indian cooking. So whether you're starting out your pantry or striving to cook a bit more authentic Indian meals, I'm going to share with you just some info about these spices and so many questions I'll try and answer just about the art of layering them and why we do certain things with spices, and even the health benefits, which are really enormous, as we know. So spices in Indian cuisine are not just mere seasonings. They actually build the flavor. They build the dish. They offer the aroma, the color, the heat, the undertones that truly imbue the dish with something memorable. So whether we're using whole or ground or toasted or tempered in hot oil, different spices reveal its different personality through the way we apply it. People often ask me, why should I toast whole spices before using them? One of the reasons I love toasting whole spices, and I do, you can easily just toast in a dry pan or with oil of your choice. It's actually to release the essential oil of the spice, which always intensifies the aroma and the flavor. I then often get asked, is there a difference between whole spice and ground spice? So yes, there is a difference. Whole spices seem to retain the flavor for much longer. They're often used in tempering. It's a slower process, while ground spices offer you ease and convenience. They blend quicker, they release the flavor a bit quicker, but also they lose their potency just that much faster. So a combination is often amazing. So you can use whole cumin, you can use ground cumin, you can use whole coriander, you can use ground, but I love to use whole. I love to bash them in the pan with some oil. I love the smell as the kitchen fills up with your garlic and your onion and as you just start the process. The other thing that's great about curry is that there's so many different types of curries, and you can start with a base and have in your pantry, you can easily start with your cumins and corianders and fenugreeks and turmeric, and then you can build on that and use them in a diverse array of applications. Whole spices can really last up to 2 years if you seal correctly and if you keep them safe and sealed in your pantry. And ground spices tend to lose their pungency, so best used within 6 months to a year. Also, whole spices don't really need, from a kashrut point of view, you can use whole spices much easier. They don't need the checking. They don't need the hechsher. So you can take your whole spices, you can crush them yourself, you can bash them yourself, easy in the kitchen. So let's just talk about certain spice blends that are central to Indian recipes and create your signature profile of what you're making. So I'm sure one name that you see all around is garam masala. So garam masala is actually a mix of ground spices, including cinnamon, cloves, cumin, coriander, cardamom, and black pepper. Then you get another masala, they call it chaat masala. That's a bit sharper, a bit saltier, and there you can infuse it with some mango powder, with some black salt, some cumin, and of course some red chili flakes. Common to South Indian lentil stews and chickpea stews, which I do a lot of as a vegetarian option, I love doing that, is a sambar powder, which uses coriander, cumin, fenugreek, chilies, and black pepper. The truth is, in my kitchen, I really do layer the spices. I don't always differentiate between the different types of spices when I'm creating my dishes. And I love to just to blend cinnamon, nutmeg, cumin, coriander. I don't really use them alone. I blend and temper them until I get the effect that I love. We're going to turn to my special guest, Susan Gregg, who, as you know, is of Beechwood Gardens, and she has just returned from an amazing Indian trip, and we're going to chat to her about her experience and the flavors and, yeah, let her shed some light on how we can adapt what she experienced in India to our South African cuisine experience. Are you on the line, Susan?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, I was.
I hope I got it right.
You sounded extremely impressive, I must say.
Oh, good, good. So I know I just saw on your Instagram and on your pages just these beautiful, beautiful, colourful pictures and this whole culinary experience that you had in India. So would you want to share your experience with us?
Well, Dolores, it is thankfully and luckily for me not the first time I've been to India, but it is a central sensory overload, because you cannot actually believe what your eye sees and what your senses feast on all the time. Obviously, more specifically the food for us, for me and you, the foodies,
for sure.
And obviously in Indian cuisine there is a plethora of Indian spices that are used in a lot of the dishes. But the colors, the color of the turmeric and the red of the chili powder and the green of the coriander.
Wow.
I mean, it just, everything is just so vibrant. And what is so wonderful about Indian cooking is that, as I heard you mention the nutmeg and the cinnamon and everything, Indian cuisine is actually a blending of flavors, of fragrant spices. It doesn't necessarily have to be hot.
Yes, yes. So people,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, so sometimes always often say, is it spicy? Is it burny? And it doesn't have to be. It can just be deliciously flavorful.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. And, you know, in after coming back from India, I did a cooking class in Cape Town last week. And I westernized a lot of my flavors that I experienced in India. Like, for example, I made a fish pie. Because, you know, if a fish pie is a very English thing where you do bechamel sauce and fish with a cheesy potato topping.
Yes.
So I did coconut milk and spices and
delicious
curry leaves with the spicy topping. So, you know what, you can change and adapt it to our flavor profiles in South Africa.
For sure.
But it is fragrant as opposed to hot spicy.
Yes, yes. And Susan, there are obviously different types of curries and different, I mean, I know that sometimes I even feel in my kitchen my curries are too much the same, and I try and differentiate, but I try and create like a green curry and a red curry. And also we're a bit limited sometimes from a Kashrut point of view, but I mean, as I said before, if we use whole spices we can actually achieve what we need to achieve. But talk to me a bit about the different types of curries you experienced.
Well, the red and green that you're talking about is more of a Thai curry.
Okay.
Because there you get those red curry paste and the green curry paste. But in India, like if you go north, they eat their curries with a lot of cream and a lot of yogurt.
Oh, wow. Fresh cream.
If you go down south.
Fresh cream,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
If you go down south, they eat it all with coconut milk.
Okay.
Because down south there's lots of those coconut palms and coconuts are more prolific there. So obviously every region has its different foods. But to be honest with you, the spices that one uses, the masala spices you use, you do tend to reuse a lot of the same spices for each dish, but you change the vegetable or the protein content, and obviously the stock or the cream or the coconut milk. So you do use the same dictionary of spices.
Okay, yes. And tell me, and lamb, do they use lamb, beef? Do they have different regions? Did you experience that lamb, beef, chicken?
They don't eat beef, right?
Yes.
No. The cows are holy.
Yes, so they have lamb.
They do eat lamb, and they eat a lot of goat.
Okay.
And in the south, they have a lot of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did find this time going, maybe I went to more fancier restaurants, but there is definitely a move in India with the new upcoming chefs for like nouvelle Indian cuisine.
For sure.
Which is not like a big plate of rice with a sloppy curry on top of it. It's more worked food. You know what I mean? It's more beautifully presented and tasteful and flavorful as opposed to a big dish of curry, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And what was your favorite, like what was one of your memorable dishes that you had?
Goodness me, I'm trying to actually think what my most favorable dish was. I know that I had aubergine quite a lot, mm-hmm. which I do love. And curried aubergine is divine. I love a curried aubergine curry, and we're vegetarian, me and my husband. So it's easy to be a vegetarian in India.
Yeah, very.
And because obviously the Hindus are vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
But the aubergine curry that I had, we went to this lodge in the middle of the mountains, was unbelievable. And then they obviously use the same base, the garlic, the ginger, the onion and the tomato as a base.
Yes.
And then they fry off the spices, as I heard you say, to release the oils and intensify the flavor.
Mm-hmm. And with the aubergine that you had, did they kind of cube it and fry it up before? Was it in slices or rounds, or how was it
presented? It was actually in rounds. It was actually in rounds.
Okay. Sounds
delicious.
It was
divine. Yeah. And what I did at my course the other day, I made like a melanzane, but an Indian melanzane.
Oh, yeah.
So I did roll-ups instead of the layers, so like rollatini, and I put paneer inside with cream cheese, with chili and onion and that.
Delicious.
And then I did the chili masala sauce on top. It was absolutely divine.
Sounds too divine. And just for those who want to know, I just saw at Woolworths there is a kosher paneer now. I don't know if it's I haven't used it myself, but I did see it there, which is great to know for those who do want to try it.
Yeah, and you know what? You can actually make paneer. It's so easy.
It is easy. I have done it. Yes, it is easy.
Yeah.
Wow, it sounds too wonderful. And your course looked amazing. It looked at the Grand also. It just looked too wonderful.
Yeah. I'm going to do another one here in a few weeks.
Amazing. So, thank you, Susan Gregg, of the flavors of Susan Gregg, and her beautiful home and kitchen at Beechwood Gardens is there for the experience of her great cooking courses and her beautiful functions. So thank you for being on the show with us.
Thanks, Dolores.
Chat again. Thank you. Bye.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're talking Indian cuisine, and we were talking to Susan Gregg about her wonderful recent trip to India, and she was talking about the kind of nouvelle cuisine that she sees flourishing and starting to rise up in India. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you was just the other night, I just did something so ad hoc, and it was kind of a fusion of, I wouldn't call it Italian, but what I did do is I took orzo, which is one of my favorite pasta variations, and boiled it as I normally did, and I kind of made a curry Indian chickpea sauce with it. So it wasn't a very thick curry, but I took my spices, spiced them up in the pan with a little bit of, I actually used avo oil. So I used a little bit of avo oil, and I used what I had, some nutmeg, some cinnamon, some ginger. Freshly ground ginger is a great addition to an Indian dish. I love the freshness of it. And then to that I added I drained a tin of chickpeas, and with some bay leaves and some basil leaves, actually. And it just became the most beautiful dish, tossed together with the orzo, a beautiful weeknight meal, and so, so easy. So while we're talking spices and we're talking about the use of spices, I'm going to share with you just some information. I love reading about different spices and what they're used for. So we were talking about coriander and cumin. So just to talk about coriander, people sometimes say, oh, my God, don't use coriander. But if you use the coriander seeds, the round beige slightly citrusy seeds. Don't confuse them with the cilantro leaves, which are the plant's fresh topping. It's very, very different. And the ground powder of the seeds is used in almost every masala blend. So don't be put off by that. I know some people just have an aversion to fresh coriander leaves, but again, so personal. Cumin seeds, again, are the small, elongated, brownish in color little seeds. Their aroma is very earthy, smoky, and slightly bitter, making them indispensable for a classic Indian dish. You can use it in a dal, you can use it in a veg stir fry, and to, of course, spice up a blend such as your garam masala. So garam masala, for me, is the essential one in a home pantry, in a kitchen, unless you're getting very adventurous. And then, of course, we go to turmeric, which is known for its vivid golden color and is prized both as a spice and a natural health remedy. So it's a very earthy spice. The color is beautiful and it adds a delicious yellowy, deep, rich color to curry, rice, and soups. I often add this at the beginning of the cooking after tempering the initial spices. So while it's mildly bitter and earthy, you can temper it with a bit of the other sweeter spices that you add to your curry. I love adding it to rice, to lentils, and of course to marinades. As a health benefit, it's an anti-inflammatory. It's just a beautiful, natural anti-inflammatory. I'm going to share with you also one of the drinks that I love with turmeric, but know that the color is not just color. It actually is so good for you. And then, of course, we get mustard seeds. I love mustard seeds. They come in a variety of color, in yellow, in brown, or in black. I love a combination of them. And again, it so adds to the dish. It's so impressive to bring a beautiful dish to your table, and it's easy. It really is. It's not a complicated thing. So mustard seeds are common in all the Indian tempering, especially in South Indian food. Don't discard them. The flavor is released by frying in hot oil until they pop. And as I said before, I love popping all the flavors together with some onion and some garlic. Talking about tomatoes that I add to curries, I love to add fresh tomatoes, but there's so many tin tomato variations. They're beautiful tin tomato. It says Indian tomatoes. I think there's Koo, there's Rhodes. There's so many different varieties. There are hundreds on the shelf. Most of them are kosher. Easy to add to a dish, convenient to have in your pantry, and just adds a depth. I love adding the tomatoes to all my Indian curries. Then we've got a flavor, a pepper. Don't forget your pepper, your black pepper. A popular global spice, and no wonder why, because besides the flavor, it has an active ingredient, piperine, which actually helps fight free radicals, improves our digestion, and absorbs beneficial compounds. So studies now across America have shown that black pepper can actually improve cholesterol levels, help control blood sugar, and maintain brain and gut health. So just spices are not only just for spice, they actually are. There's something to it. There's something to this whole Indian cuisine and the beautiful skins and lush hair that you see the Indian woman. There must be something to it with the beautiful spices that they consume in all their Indian curries. Let's talk about nutmeg. Nutmeg is made from the seed of the evergreen nutmeg tree, native to Indonesia, but this spice contains potent anti-inflammatory plant compounds that act as antioxidants. So it's known to even improve your mood and help control sugar, boost heart health, and it has hypotensive abilities that can help you across a whole health experience. We're going to talk now to Elise Jankelowitz, a registered dietitian in Johannesburg who has often been on my show. And we're going to talk about, we've been talking Indian food, but we're going to talk about health and boosting your health for winter, not reaching quickly for that carb that so seems so easy to always reach for, and how we can maintain a balance with winter eating while enjoying the kitchen flavors that we so enjoy. Elise, are you on the line?
Yes. Hello, Dee.
Hi. Welcome. I never know if your practice is Elise Jankelowitz or Elise Barron, so you can correct me right here so that everyone can hear.
I'm still registered as Elise Barron, but most people know me as Elise Jankelowitz.
Okay. So if they need to find you, that's where they can find you.
Correct.
So I was speaking to Susan Gregg of Beechwood Gardens. She's just returned from India, and we were talking about flavors and cooking and Indian flavors of food. And I'm just talking about spices and the benefits that so many spices have from a health perspective. But what I really wanted to chat to you about, and you can, of course, give us any info that you wish to share on things that are healthy and easy in your kitchen to reach for. I know one of, I always say I'm not the healthiest eater, but the one thing I always do every morning is I drink ginger water, and I always feel very proud that that's what I do. But I read recently that if you even combine the ginger water with a bit of turmeric and some cinnamon, it even enhances the well-being. So, but we're talking generally about winter. I know winter's a time we all tend to kind of reach for the carb, the sometimes the greasier food just seems more comforting. We yearn for something more wholesome. Talk to me a bit about winter eating and how we can help control our blood sugars, etc., by planning our menus.
Okay, perfect. So I think the important thing for everyone to understand is there's a true physiological and biological reason why we do look for these foods. So in terms of the concept of thermoregulation, the body needs more food to maintain its core temperature.
Wow. Okay.
And another great reason that we look for these foods is that there's often shorter daylight hours and people tend to spend less time in the sun. And so when we are exposed to sunlight, we produce serotonin, and the carbohydrate-based foods give us a boost of serotonin. So that would also be another reason why we look for the starchier, sugary-based foods.
Wow.
And there's a fantastic study that was done at Yale University, and the researchers looked at the concepts around cold and loneliness and isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know for a fact that in winter, we typically do become less social, and maybe we are a little bit isolated. And at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when the temperature starts to drop, and again after dinner, people tend to look for, again, carby and starchy based foods.
That's so true.
And what, so true. And what they found is that there's a significant association between our body's thermoregulation system and our social connection systems. And so what they did is they took these people and they supported their cravings through giving them warm things. So they gave them a hot water bottle, or they told them to go have a nice warm shower, or put on warm socks, or change into comfy pajamas. And as soon as they created that change, the need for the cravings disappeared.
Wow. That makes so much sense.
And when you understand why we're looking for those foods, it makes it easier to manage. So exactly what you said, balance your glucose levels. Don't stop and skip meals or skip that mid-morning snack. If your breakfast is made up in the summer months of yogurt and fruits and granola, switch it to oats. Mm-hmm. Switch it to something warm and something that provides a bit more comfort. Your stews and, like you mentioned, your curries and soups are excellent ways to bring in, you know, a great variety of vegetables.
Yes.
I do find that my patients eat more vegetables actually in winter than they do in summer.
For sure. And I see that, and even then, from functions, I see that people want vegetables and more hot dishes. And even last week I did a function and the salads kind of were half empty, you know. People went more for the hot food because it happened to be a very cold night. Yes.
Exactly. I found today I took my salad out the fridge probably an hour before I ate it, because the thought of eating a salad was just not that palatable.
Yes.
And again, those soups, stews and curries can bring in lentils and legumes and chickpeas and beautiful starches, which are healthy and, mm-hmm. and have got great amino acids. So definitely worth looking at that. And then not to forget all the things you mentioned, the ginger, the turmeric, the garlic, all those beautiful spices. They're actually anti-inflammatory.
For sure.
They fight colds and flus. They're antiviral, antibacterial. So really beneficial. And then my other tip would be to keep warm meals.
Okay.
So if you're going for a hot cup of rooibos tea or the lemon and ginger you mentioned, what's also a beautiful thing to do is take turmeric and ginger and mint, and you can blend them all together.
Okay.
And you freeze them in little ice trays, you know, little ice cubes, put them in the freezer, and then add that to hot water.
What did you, I'm going to have to write that one down. Turmeric, ginger, and? Mint.
So you can do mint and lemon, yeah.
Delicious.
And lemon even. You can throw the entire lemon in with the skin and all.
Wow, that sounds delicious. Yeah, there's definitely these connections between spices and the health benefits of certain spices, for sure.
100%. And then the last thing to mention is that you have to get good sleep because, again, leptin, we release a hormone which tells the body that you're full, and people that don't acquire good quality sleep will be hungrier the next day. So that's also a huge one to watch out for.
Sure, that's an amazing piece of information, and thank you for giving that info across to our listeners. Really did help. It definitely helped me. I'm sure it helped them too. So next time I'm going to reach for the, instead of reaching for the chocolate, I'm going to reach for a hot water bottle. How's that?
Exactly. Try that and let me know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so much for giving us your time as always. We've been speaking to Elise Barron, a registered dietitian and nutritionist in Johannesburg. Thank you for your time, Elise.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're talking on Kosher Cravings about delicious flavors, scents, spices, and Indian cuisine. As I say, I embrace all genres of food and all different regional. I love the Middle Eastern, I love the Mediterranean, I love the Indian, and I love the benefits that we talk about when we talk about different spices and infusions that come from different regions. So I was talking to Elise Barron about drinks and keeping warm, and actually how being warm and keeping our bodies warm keeps us healthier, and we don't always have to then reach for the unhealthy variation of what we think our bodies actually need. So I was talking about a drink, and for those who want the actual the recipe as such, it's hardly a recipe, but if you just want to know the ingredients, it's a half a teaspoon of ground turmeric, half a teaspoon of ground cinnamon. I love to also put in some cinnamon sticks, a thumb-sized piece of fresh ginger, which I chop up, and 2 cups of water. I boil that all up in a pot, and once it's just slightly cool, I add slices of fresh lemon and a teaspoon of raw honey. And that is just the most delicious drink when you wake in the morning. I try and do that in the morning. As I said, I am a carby person, and I often reach for the chocolate myself, but a few sips of that once or twice a day for natural immune and inflammation support makes me feel just that much better. Elise was also talking about sleep and healing. And yes, we do need to be cognizant of sleep. I know everyone talks about it, but do we actually internalize it? There's so much information and research across the globe about sleep science, and we know by now that the hours between 10 p.m. and midnight are truly the most beneficial for our body, where our immune system rebuilds and recharges at its highest rate. Our cells repair and regenerate most efficiently. Your brain begins clearing metabolic waste, and your body moves into its deepest restorative state. So the old saying, an hour of sleep before midnight is worth two after, really does hold up against what research now shows about the biological effects of sleep and deep sleep staging. Most people lose this recovery window, especially now, every single night, by staying up late on screens, scrolling on their phones. I know I'm guilty myself. We sometimes scroll so mindlessly, and they say we shouldn't even have a screen near us for half an hour before we go to sleep. So going to bed before midnight is one of the simplest and most powerful zero-cost health decisions that a person can make. It's truly not about being boring. It's about understanding what the body is designed to do and giving it the right conditions to do it. So while we're talking about sleep and spices, I'm going to share a bit more information about certain other spices and the health benefits that they offer us. So cayenne pepper. This spice packs a punch, not just for its fiery effect on the taste buds, and I do love cayenne pepper, but its impact on pain too. It contains alkaloid capsaicin, which blocks the chemicals that send pain messages to the brain. It also kickstarts the body's metabolism and boosts calorie and fat burning. It helps with insulin resistance, and it helps control blood sugar. Cinnamon, one of my favorite spices, and I love cinnamon sticks. I love even the scent of just a bunch of cinnamon sticks on a table. You just get that whiff of cinnamon as you walk past. So cinnamon is actually bursting with anti-inflammatory properties. This aromatic tree bark is best known for aiding digestion and gastrointestinal complaints. It has long been used as a home remedy for heartburn, for indigestion, and for nausea. So many of these spices just offer us natural remedies rather than reaching for a pill. Scientific research shows that cinnamon can assist those with type 2 diabetes and is an essential tool in managing symptoms. It's also used as a natural appetite suppressant for those with sugar addiction and contains large amounts of highly potent polyphenol antioxidants. So there you go, cinnamon. Star anise, another beautiful spice from Mother Nature. It's actually made from the fruit of a Chinese evergreen tree called Elysium verum, and it's known for treating a variety of fungal, bacterial, and viral issues. And then I was talking earlier about fenugreek, which I love to pop in my curry infusions when I start my tempering process. Fenugreek seeds are small, golden, and taste slightly bitter, but they do have a maple syrupy-like undertone. The leaves can also be used as a fresh or dried herb. And the seeds go into spice mixes, tempering them, mellows the bitterness. So there we have a few insightful informations about different spices that are used in curry powders, in spice blends, and of course tempered whole in pickles and vegetarian stir fries. I'm going to share with you one take of a recipe. So as I say, I love fusion food, and I love taking different kind of recipes and just giving it my own twist. You know, my philosophy on cooking is to use what you have in your pantry, to use seasonal herbs and spices and fresh ingredients. So if you find a recipe for something like a brisket, give it an Indian twist for a change. Easy to try. So I'm going to share with you this. Mix some olive oil with some paprika, cumin, cinnamon, and coriander. Rub a brisket with this quite vigorously and leave in the fridge for at least an hour. Of course, you can add your salt and pepper like you would normally add. I happen to add black pepper to almost everything. Heat a little bit of oil in a pan, and again, you can use an olive oil or a vegetable oil. If you're going to opt for a vegetable oil, I like to use an avo oil, something like that, and season. So you're going to season your meat again with salt and pepper and then seal it in the pan after you've had it in the fridge for a while. And of course, you know, you always take it out the fridge and rest it for a bit before. You don't take your meat from the fridge and to the pan. And then in the same oil, I cook at least 2 whole onions, which I've chopped or chop in rounds. So you chop your onions in the same pan until they soften. I then take some paprika, some cumin, some cinnamon, some coriander, a little bit of ground black pepper. Add it to your pan, to your oil, and to that I add 400 grams of fresh Rosa tomatoes, which I've halved. Or you can use the jam tomatoes or tin tomatoes, whatever you want. I like a combination, so sometimes I add my Rosa fresh tomatoes to a tin of tomatoes. Always garlic. I love my fresh garlic. So 5 cloves of garlic, which you've halved. And to that, you can add a packet of brown onion soup. And then to sweeten it just a little bit, you can add a cup of chutney or onion marmalade or anything like that. Take 2 cups of water, mix it all together. And then take your brisket, put it in a deep roasting pan, toss over the onions and all the sauce, cover with foil, and roast on about 160 for about 3 to 4 hours until the brisket is super soft. It almost becomes like a pulled beef, and you have that beautiful curry-ish paprika, cumin, cinnamon infusion. So it's not totally curry, but it just has that feel of an Indian dish.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
We're talking spices and Indian cuisine. We've been talking about the health benefits and how spices are just packed with health benefits. Another spice that I love is cloves, often neglected, and some people just do not appreciate the very specific flavor of cloves. But cloves pack an intense and slightly numbing heat with warm, sweet undertones. They're perfect for rice dishes, for your biryanis, your stews, and different spice blends, and also great in marinades. I'm going to share with you one more recipe of a fish dish. But before we talk about that, we're going to talk about something sweet, and that is vanilla. I love vanilla, even just a little bit of warm vanilla in a bowl in a room just gives off such a beautiful scent. In fact, sometimes if you've been cooking very intensely and your kitchen is just a bit overpowered with certain scents, you can take some vanilla in a little bowl and actually put it in your oven and just heat it very gently. And before you know it, your whole kitchen just has a beautiful aroma of vanilla, feels of home. Vanilla is a very much a home scent. So vanilla is actually the second most expensive spice in the world, and it contains a compound known as vanillin that is a natural antioxidant, an antidepressant, and has anti-tumor effects. It has been used to reduce skin infections and heal wounds. It's also a great spice if you want to shed some extra weight due to its natural appetite suppressing qualities. So there you go. So much information around on so many spices. And just before I share my last recipe with you, I'm going to talk about ginger. Ginger has to be one of my most favorite spices. This spice has earned its bragging rights and is famed for a wide range of healing properties. It contains substances known as gingerols that reduce inflammation and turn off pain-causing compounds in the body. Ginger is loaded with antioxidants that help protect the body from cancer and other diseases. So if we combine just a little bit of the cinnamons, the gingers, the corianders, the turmerics, look how healthy we could change our lifestyles so quickly and so easily just by using spices in our foods. And as I say, they keep for so long in our pantry. They have a great shelf life. I love the whole spice, but whatever tickles your fancy. So one of my favorite dishes for a weekday meal or a special occasion is a fusion fish curry. So I'm going to share with you here. So you can use any firm fish that you wish. Even sea bass makes a delicious curry, a king clip, hake if you wish. I cut that into thick strips. Your ingredients include olive oil, a big onion thinly sliced, some minced garlic, fresh ginger grated, a handful of fresh coriander, 2 tablespoons of tikka masala or your curry powder or your garam masala, 2 tins of chopped tomatoes, and then to that you can add 2 tablespoons of chutney and 1 cup of plain yogurt, which I add just at the end when I'm doing a milk meal. Makes a delicious creamy alternative to a coconut curry. So I heat the oil in a large pot, add your onion, your garlic, your ginger, saute until softened, season with salt for flavor, a dash of pepper, of course, add your masala paste and stir to mix it in with the onion. Lastly, add your tomatoes, simmer for a few minutes, add your coriander, remove the pot from the stove and blend all of this with a hand blender. I don't blend it completely smooth. I love it just a little bit chunky. To that, you can add your chutney and then place your fish strips in the sauce and simmer for a few minutes until cooked through. Top with some fresh leaves, serve with a white basmati rice, and there you go. You have a delicious fish curry for any night of the week. So there we go, listeners. We've been talking Indian cuisine, fusion flavors, the health benefits of spices. I wish you a spicy and flavorful month ahead until I'm in the seat again. Embrace winter with the warmth that we've just been speaking about, and hope to be with you soon in this hot seat. Thank you.